So the theme for this morning is God uses young people. And this has already also given me an opportunity to kind of just reflect on my own life and just look back and to say to myself, so what did I do with my youth? You know, it's a few years ago, but I mean, what did I do? Is there anything that stands out? Is it anything worthwhile with regards to my youth? And I'm not talking about being a prefect at school and being involved in sports and all that kind of stuff that's important. That's not important. It's amazing. I remember that the guys that used to be the big shots at school, when we went to the army, they didn't last long. And the guys that were nothing at school when we went to the army, all of a sudden, these were the guys that stood out as leaders. I remember there were guys in the army that were really good, how can I say, leaders in school. They just didn't make it in the army. And that guys that wasn't even prefects, they became extremely good soldiers, extremely good officers. You know, so I'm not talking about those kind of things because those things are worldly. Who cares? Well, the world cares. And it's amazing how parents care about what their children accomplish when they're young, isn't it? So, my question is, what is our children accomplishing when they're young for the Lord? That's my question. And that's what I kind of looked at when I was studying Scripture. Before we continue, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for what we can learn. It's just absolutely amazing that you have so much to teach us. And Father, it's as if your word just never ever runs out of things to say and teach. And it's so wonderful, Father. Thank you that we can study your word, find the truth, and not only learn, but apply it to our lives and see the results. It's just amazing. So this morning I want to pray, Father, as we look at examples of young people in Scripture, I want to pray that you will challenge us with regards to that. Do whatever you want, Father, so that your word will not return void, and enable me as your servant to teach your people, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Ecclesiastics. I'm just going to read two. It's in Ecclesiastics 11. Sorry. Ecclesiastics chapter 11. We're going to read verse 9 and 10. I struggled to pronounce that word when I was at school, Ecclesiastics. I had all kinds of pronunciations, but it wasn't like that. So, and you would have noticed, I grew up in Afrikaans school, in an Afrikaans class. I didn't even know Ecclesiastics existed, because in Afrikaans it's completely different. So, right, Ecclesiastics 11, verse 9. It says, "Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these God will bring you into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity." And that word vanity just basically means that it passes away very quickly. I remember my mom said to me just a few weeks ago, she said to me, "Wow, life has gone past so quickly. It's just as if just the other day that they got married and we were born, my brother and me. Life just flies by us so quickly." And that's what the writer says to us. And the writer, by the way, is Solomon. And Solomon, they say, when he was a young man, he wrote the book of Songs of Solomon. And you'll go and you'll see in Songs of Solomon, it's just all about this girl. You know? Beautiful, beautiful way of expressing himself. But you can typically see this as a young man, the young man's thinking. And then when he grows up and he becomes a little bit older, he writes the book of Proverbs, where he's a wise older man. Not old yet, but just wise older man. And then when he's an old man, older, quite older, much older, he writes Ecclesiastics. And this is where he comes out with wisdom like this. where he says to a youngster, "It's good to be happy during the days of your youth." This is an old man that used to, was young at one stage as well. I was young as well. It's as if the children look at us and they think, "Yeah, you are so ancient. You look so old. You're gray. You've never been young. You don't know what young is. You don't know how it feels to be young." Well, it's not true. We know. It's been a while, but I mean, we know how what it is to be young. And that's why so many things that children do, they don't know. The reason why we know they do it is because we did it. All right, so it's not as if we can be caught by surprise by a lot of the things that the children do, because we've done it. We were there. We were young as well at one stage. So he says, what you need to do is enjoy everything you do in your life. That's good. But remember, there's going to be a day of judgment. There's going to be a time when that, all those things you did are going to be judged. So enjoy it. Enjoy life. It's good. It's not a problem. But it's going to be judged. And what you do is, whatever you do, just keep this in your mind, youngster, that whatever you do is going to be judged by God one day. Because God sees everything. Nothing just slips by. God knows everything. So keep that in mind. As you continue with your life, remember that. Don't, how can I say, forget it. And the wonderful thing is, there are numerous examples of young people in the Bible that live exceptional lives. I mean, really exceptional lives. And I'd like to focus on them a little bit later. But now, I remember starting just researching and looking at the youth service today. I wondered to myself, now what in the world? There are so much that I can talk about. What would be one of those things that really stood out in my own mind? And I realized, as I was studying it and as I saw what Solomon said here, he was reflecting on his own youth. He saw it went past so quickly. And he realized that this is kind of in his mind, that everything he did as a young person, those things will catch up to you later on. It's like somebody that plays some other sport that is hard on your body. When you grow older, you're going to feel it. Your body is going to tell you, listen, you played, let's say, rugby, or you played soccer. I don't know if you are left with quite so many injuries, but if you do a hard kind of intensive kind of sport, then when you're older, you're going to feel it. So whatever you do in your youth, there's going to be a day when you are going to look back and say, I shouldn't have done it that way. I shouldn't have been so tough on myself, or whatever. So there's going to be a day of reckoning. It doesn't matter what. But when it comes to our spiritual lives, that includes our physical lives, there's going to be a day of God's judgment, where God is going to judge my life. Whether I like it or not, whether I want it or not, He's going to judge my life. All right. What is interesting, though, is how God uses young people. Take, for example, Daniel. Daniel was a young person, and he was taken into exile. Nah? So he's in this foreign land. He's taken there against his will. He had three friends, you remember? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so they are in this foreign land. And now all of a sudden the king looks at them and he says, well, okay, I need a few guys that I can train in the science of my country. I need to train them now to become people that can work for me. So he just rips them out of their country and he places them where he is. And now they've got to learn all the things of this new country and whatever. And here you have them stuck. They can't quickly phone home and says, "Mom, please come and fetch me. I don't like it here." No, they've got to make their way. They've got to live where they are. And you look at the life of Daniel and you look at the life of his friends and you realize, but wow, what lives these young people have. When you read Daniel, the problem is when you read it, you'll think, wow, we're talking about a guy that's 50 years old. But he's not. He's a teenager. He's a youngster. His friends are youngsters. So as youngsters, for example, Daniel is one of the guys that says, listen, whoa, 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 whoa. We don't want to eat what the king wants to give us, because those things are going to make us dumb. He doesn't say those words, but I mean, you understand what I'm saying. It's going to make us dumb because he gives us a lot of bunch of rubbish to eat. So we don't want to eat the rubbish of the king, and we don't want to drink the stuff that he gives us because he's giving us alcohol, and alcohol is not good for our brains. This is a young man who's in the phase of his life where he experiments. He wants to try new stuff, and here he is. I mean, he can eat whatever the king gives him, and the king's used to eat good stuff. And he can have as much liquor as he wants. He says, no, we'd rather fast. Amazing. What made Daniel so much different to the other kids around? I mean, later on when they looked at the youngsters and they saw which youngsters were actually good enough to be promoted, guess who were promoted? Daniel and his friends. Why? Because you could see them stand out above everybody else. But the thing that actually stood out is Daniel and his friends knew God from a very young age. And when they went into exile, when they went to Babylon, they went to Babylon with the Lord. And that caused them to stay in Babylon and say, what we're going to do is, God, you have led us here, so we're going to do the best. You show us what to do and we'll do it. We are here for your glory. Absolutely amazing. No tantrums. No demands to send back home. They're slaves. So you see these youngsters act wisely. Later on, Daniel becomes a prime minister in a foreign land. He's not back to his land yet. He's in a foreign land. But he becomes the prime minister. But what happened was, right from the beginning, instead of focusing on the captivity, they focused on God, and they wanted to please God in everything that was in them. Amazing. And you just see how these young people stood out among everybody else. Young men of integrity. Young men of stature. Wise. Wisdom. Besides that, also, they had the ability, certain abilities that God gave them because they were worshiping God. I came across an amazing quote by Thomas Fuller. He was an English churchman and a historian. He lived in the UK in 1608 to 1661. So he died when he was 53 years old. But he said, history makes a young man to be old, but without wrinkles or gray hair, privileging him with the experience of age without either the infirmities or the inconveniences thereof. So what he's saying is, he says, it's as if you read the scriptures, it's as if you read the life of a young person, you're reading about the life of a young person, but in our minds, that person is not young. Because we don't expect the things to happen to the young people that we read about in scripture. We expect young people things to happen to these young people. But they're so different. Completely different. We expect Daniel to throw a tantrum and his friends, don't we? We expect them to jump up and down and demand everything. We expect them to toy and to burn places down and all kinds of stuff. We expect those kind of things because that's what youth do. Youth wants things and then they demand things and then they want it no matter what. Who's just complacent and happy with where they are? That's what happened to Daniel. Yeah, normally the people that are just complacent and happy with where they are people that are established at their work and established in their homes and their things are, and they don't have anything to just go and toy about. So what they do is they just calm and relax and whatever, and they say, I don't want to be involved in these things. So we kind of expect young people not to act like that. We expect young people to have fire and to want things done their way. That's why it's so easy to get young people and just sweep them up, you know, to kind of get them to move. You will always see in all things that happens where there's riots and where there's all kinds of things, guess who's there? Who's the most people that are there? Young people. Why is it? Because they're gullible. They can be drawn away by lies. Actually, everybody can be deceived. But it's just easier to deceive a young person because they don't have life experience yet. They don't have the kind of wisdom that you need in life. But in the life of Daniel and in the life of the other people that we read about in Scripture that are young people, you realize, wow, they are so different. It's as if they are adults, but they're not. They're children. They're teenagers. You see, it's very true when we read about the young people in the Bible that we kind of look at them, but we miss the fact that they are young. I was thinking about it. You know, when Daniel and his friends, when they went into exile, they didn't have a lot of the things that we have today. For example, they didn't have electricity, did they? There was no electricity then. And then as I was reading, writing it down, I realized, we're moving in that same direction again. So one of these days, it's going to be a challenge for every one of us. In the past, people had to learn next to a candle. Nowadays, if the electricity is off, people want to toy in the streets because they're unhappy. They can't endure any suffering anymore because, you can't. How can I study with a candle? But that's been done for the thousands of years. It's only the last few hundred years that electricity has been available everywhere. But people go on as if it's always been there. It's not true. They didn't have cars and buses and bikes. One of these days, I don't think we're going to have it either. Or we'll have it, but we won't be able to drive it because the petrol price is too high. But they didn't have those things. But they were complacent. It's not as if they got onto an airplane and flew over to Babylon. They had to walk. The situation in those days were completely different. They didn't have a cell phone to quickly phone home and say, okay, mom, dad, we're okay. Or quickly go into YouTube, WhatsApp, do a WhatsApp call or Skype or Zoom quickly. No, we're doing fine, okay. Yeah, no, we're all right. And they can speak to one another in real time, kind of thing. They didn't have that. They didn't know whether they're going to go home, ever. It was expected from these young people to act with wisdom, to act in a way that it was not expected of young people. Some young people did, others didn't. That's always the case. And I want to challenge you as young people today to act like young people of Scripture. Because what an example. It's been an example to me. As I was studying this, I just stood there and said, whoa, what an example. If I had only studied this when I was a youngster and it could sink into this head of mine, because that's the problem. Yeah. I read it. I read through the Bible. Like, I love to read the Bible, but it didn't sink in. If only it could sink in when I was younger, I could have applied a lot of these things that I read in Scripture and I would have been a different young man. What happened to me? I wanted to be like the cool guys. Because that's the cool thing. I want to talk like the guys. And I want to walk like the guys. And I want to look like the guys. And at the end of the day, it meant nothing. Absolutely nothing. Today I look back at my own life and I think to myself, what a waste. I've wasted my youth. On what? Trying to be cool? Let me say it like this. Trying to be cool like a fool? Because people who do not know God, they are fools. And I wanted to be like them. I was thinking about it. If I knew then when I was a youngster what I know now, one of the things that I most probably would have done is I would have chosen my friends differently. I wouldn't want to be around the cool crowd. I remember in the army as well. I was in the army for 4 years. I was permanent force as well. And And I just wanted to fit in everywhere I went. I just wanted to fit in, and I always kind of looked for the cool group, cool guys, because I wasn't that cool. I was never, you know, the leader of the cool group. I was always just the kind of, I just wanted to be part of the cool group. Somehow I could get it right to kind of get into the cool group for a while sometimes. And I thought to myself, if I knew then what I know now, I would have chosen a completely different group of friends. Because our friends has such a great influence on us, on our thinking. They have an influence on the kind of decisions that we're going to make. I remember I wanted to wear stuff that really felt uncomfortable, things that I really didn't like to wear, but I wore it because my friends wanted me to wear it. And today I look back at it and I say, how stupid. But I did it anyway. It's interesting how our friends decide what our priorities should be. Isn't it? You might want to make God a priority in your life. You might want to make the things of God a priority in life. But friends just influences us to such an extent that at the end of the day, our priorities change. And by the way, something that you prioritize in your life, something that's important to you, you will always make time for that. It's those things that are not priorities in our lives that we don't make time for. And people will easily and quickly say, oh, I don't have time for that. The only reason why you don't have time for it is because you're not making it a priority in your life. And friends have that ability to take us away from our priorities in life. And what did Daniel do? What did his friends do? And by the way, you can look at the kind of friends that Daniel had. Wow. Amazing three friends. They had the same value system as Daniel had. And they served the same God. Amazing. But what did they do? They never ever associated themselves with the others. Why? It's very simple. Daniel immediately realized if he became part of the cool group, now all these guys that were now eating the king's stuff and drinking the king's alcohol and whatever, if this was the case, he's going to become just like them. And it's a fool's paradise if you think that you are going to influence your friends to change. They're not. They're going to change you. That's always how it works. And especially if your friends, let's say you've got two friends that are worldly, that loves the things of this world, and God is somewhere, you know, in the back of the line of their priorities. I'm telling you, you're never going to get to God's things. They will always take you away from it. That's just the way it works. And why does it work that way? Because that's the influence that friends have on our lives. That's why Scripture tells us, even when we get married, do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Because if you are unequally yoked with an unbeliever, which means you marry an unbeliever, that unbelieving partner of yours are going to drag or draw your attention away from the things that are the most important in life, and that is God and eternal things. So don't go there. So that's one of the things that I would have definitely changed in my life if I could have my life over again. Matthew Henry, a Reformed commentator, said in the following, and this is just a quote that I wanted to share with you. He says, "The flower of youth never appears more beautiful than when it bends towards the sun of righteousness." Let me say that again. The flower of youth never appears more beautiful than when it bends towards the sun of righteousness. If you want to see a beautiful youngster, it will always be that youngster who tends to lean towards the things of God and God Himself. That will be the youngster that youngster just stands out. The world will say, ah, what a loser. But in God's eyes, and it should be in the eyes of the church, we should encourage young people that stand out for the Lord to say, continue, we are behind you. We are here to support you, because that is the most important thing in life. And parents should not support their children to become more like the world. They should support their children to become more Christ-like. Unfortunately, we've moved into a world system where people think that they accomplish something in life if they look like the world. They act like the world. They talk like the world. The actions are the actions of the world. Then they think they've accomplished something in life. When in fact, when their lives are judged one day, it's going to be burned. It's going to be destroyed. Nothing is going to be left. Because it's only eternal things that actually has eternal value. You know what? If I look back at my life, I would have wanted to be more Christ-like. But remember, this is now with 2020 vision. You know what 2020 vision is now? 2020 vision means that you can see everything clearly. So I'm looking back now. So it's not as if I am in the situation. I'm looking back and I'm looking with 2020 vision. I'm looking at it and I think to myself, wow, I would have loved to be more Christ-like. I wasn't. I was actually moving in the wrong direction. I would have loved to live for Christ more, to shine for Him more, to spend more time with Him, to live a life to please Him more, not to try to have my next bike ride with my friends. I didn't. That's not what I became when I was a youngster. Who I was when I was a youngster. But let me tell you, you can. Especially the young people, because you've still got your life ahead of you. But you've got to make a decision. You've got to make a decision, and it's a life-changing decision. I would have loved to spend more time in praise and worship, more time in prayer and reflection, meditating on the Word of God, more time in fellowship with other believers, who I can learn from, whose example I could follow. I'd love to spend more time in ministry, getting to learn how ministry works. I would have loved to spend more time reaching out to people, reaching out in ministry. I would have loved to divorce myself from the world to such an extent that I was a cast out by the world. But I would be written in the pages of Scripture as somebody that looked like one of these youngsters. That would have been cool. But that's in looking in 2020 vision, not when I was a youngster. And by the way, I never got a sermon like this when I was a youngster. It's all feel good stuff. You've got your whole life ahead of you. Make the best of it. Enjoy your life. Pursue your dreams. Become who you want to be. And okay, guess one day when you've got everything and you've done everything and you've got the cool house and the cool car and the cool job, what then? What then? What does it mean? That's why Solomon in Ecclesiastes as well, he says everything is vanity. It all goes past very quickly, but it all means very little. It's only eternal things that has eternal value. I would love to have spent more time with godly men. I'm talking about real godly men. Who could teach me what it means to love Christ. To live a godly life. Somebody that I could learn from. Yes, I think it would have been cool for me to know how to use a hammer and pliers and all that kind of stuff. But godly men would be able to teach me what it means to follow Christ. I would have loved to spend more time in God's Word. So I could reflect on the Word more and share the truth of God more. I would have loved to spend more time at the feet of the cross. The feet of Christ. I remember we were in a meeting of pastors some years ago, and it was asked, one of the senior pastors, he was in his 60s already, just before his retirement, they asked him to come and share with us if he could change a few things in ministry, if he looks back at his life of ministry. I think he was ministering for over 40 years already by that time. What would he change? And I remember one of the things he said, he would like to spend more time at the feet of Christ. That's not praying, reading the Bible, and yapping. At the feet of the cross, just being quiet. Reflecting on what the Word has said and what I've been speaking to the Lord about. Spending time to think of my own life in comparison to what I'm supposed to be in Scripture. Just spending more time with the Lord. And by the way, John MacArthur said that you are the only Bible some unbelievers will ever read. And I would have loved to be that Bible when I was a youngster. For a lot of my friends, well, people that I believed was my friend, because many of them today do not know the Lord, they do not serve the Lord, they don't care about the Lord, they don't know the Lord. But we were cool together, playing rugby together, and doing all the kind of worldly stuff together. But they're going to hell. I don't even know how to reach them. I met a few of them in the years after school. Some of them turned out badly. So I would have loved to be an example of what it means to be Christ-like. That would have been cool. So maybe at one stage in their life they could have looked back and said, you know what, I remember that guy. I can't remember his name because he was such a cast out. He was he always spoke about Jesus and the gospel. And they kind of, but there was things that he said and his example that touches my life now. That would have been nice. And youngsters, let me tell you, you are privileged. Just to be in this church and to sit under the sound of the gospel, the preaching of God's word, you have a privilege that very few in the world has, because most of the people in the world are not saved. Children do not have the privilege of even listening to the word of God from the pulpit. Make the most of your privileges that you have. And I call it a privilege because it's a privilege. It's something we don't deserve. We don't deserve it at all. Let me give you a few examples, just quickly, of youngsters in the Bible. I don't know if anybody heard of a boy with the name of Josiah. Well, he was here a few years ago, hey? But from America, but that's Josiah that you came to visit. With the missionaries, that's not him. This is Josiah the king. He was 8 years old when he became king. Anybody here, youngsters? Anybody 8? One of the boys? 9? Who's 9? Who's the closest to 8 years old? You 9. Great? Great 4. Ah, which means that this guy would have been a boy, would have been the king of Israel when he was in grade 3. How would you think about it to be the king of South Africa? The youngster would say, cool, because then I can change all the rules and I can do whatever I want and everybody will have to bow before me and it will all be about themselves. No? Because that's the way that children are being brought up today, is all about them. It's all about their rights. But Josiah, he became king of Israel at the age of 8 years old. Not a lot has been said about him, but what has been said about him is just amazing. And he did what was right in the eyes of God. He's one of the kings, by the way, that it says in Scripture that he did right in the eyes of God. He was one of the few good kings of Israel, because if you read about the kings, what a disaster. The kings of Israel were a bunch of But Josiah was something different. What he did was he began searching for God. And at a very young age, he decided to return the Ark of the Covenant to the temple. As a youngster, why would he think about the temple? He's supposed to be king and enjoy himself and eat all that stuff. Do whatever he wants. But to him it's important to return the temple, the Ark of the Covenant to the temple. But not only that, he also wanted to purify Judah and Israel from their idols, and he did it. And from their strange images, the gods, you know, these idol worship gods that were worshipped. He just wanted to rid Israel and Judah from all of this rubbish that was in Israel, because he wanted God to be served and him alone. This is a youngster. This is a boy. 2 Chronicles 34 verse 1 and 2 says the following about Josiah. It says, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and followed the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the left or to the right. This guy just stayed on the short and narrow, or what is it, the long and narrow, or the narrow. He just stuck there. Which means that he was 39 years old when he died. Nah? But the legacy he left behind was amazing. He became king at 8 years old in your life. Another one is Jeremiah, who was called from his mother's womb to be a prophet to Israel. He was an amazing prophet. He's one of the major prophets in Israel. And God already started preparing Jeremiah to be a prophet before he was even conceived. God already had a calling on him, on his life, and when Jeremiah was born to be a prophet to Israel. Nowadays, what does our world do? They give the mothers permission to kill their babies. Doesn't matter what God wants to do with that child. They say to the mother, you go and kill that child. And millions of children are being killed every single year for luxury's sake, because the child is inconvenient. But from before birth, before conception, Jeremiah was already called by God. We read, before I formed you, in verse 5 of Jeremiah chapter 1, he says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Amazing. So God has a plan for each person. And by the way, because we are image bearers of God and God is the one who created us, that means that God has a plan for every single person on this planet. And nobody has the right to take away what God's plan is for anybody. We just don't have that right. Now, quickly, girls, how many of you are between the ages of 12 and 15? Including 12, 15. Okay, right. Good. Excellent. I want to introduce you to a girl with the name of Esther. Anybody heard of her? Esther. She's actually been an inspiration to a lot of young Christian women through the years. She replaced Queen Vashti. She was the queen of Persia. And Esther replaced her. Now, Esther in the Bible is a very short book. You don't even read the name God there. You don't find it in there. But you can see God in the background, busy in the life of this young girl. Because according to that tradition in those years, she could have been betrothed to the king from the age 12 to 15. That's about the time that she would get married. So she was between that period, that time. They say she was around about 14 years old when she got married to King Ahasuerus. And she had an amazing role to play in the protection of the people of Israel, because there was a conspiracy behind the scenes to destroy the people of Israel. And God used Esther, a 14-year-old girl, to save Israel. Amazing. 14 years old? That's the kind of person that God used. absolutely amazing. Anybody heard of Miriam? Moses' sister? You remember what Moses' sister did? Moses was taken, put into this little thingy and put on the Nile River so that he can just be saved, so he wouldn't be killed. And Miriam, Moses' sister, he was around about 3 months old when he was put into this little thingy. Was made out of reeds. And she would be right next to the river watching her brother. Any girls here between the ages of 6 and 7 years old? She was looking after her brother next to the Nile River when she was between 6 and 7 years old. Did you know that? A girl, young girl. And when the queen of Egypt came and she found Moses, this girl was so amazing, such wisdom. She ran to her and said, "I know someone that will be able to nurse this child. Can I go and fetch her?" Then she went to fetch Moses' mom. And through the years, she took him while Moses was with Pharaoh's daughter, his mother could go and see him. She was nursing him during the time that the mother nursed her child. Absolutely amazing. But Miriam saved her brother's life. Between 6 and 7 years old. Amazing, isn't it? Absolutely amazing. Abel is another one. The son of Adam and Eve. He didn't have a long life. And his life was taken by his brother. And when God asked him, "Who is your brother?" He says, "Am I my brother's keeper?" But in the meantime, he already killed his brother. But Abel was an amazing young man, because from a very young age, Abel got to know God. And he got to understand what is important to God and what was not important to God. Because when an offering was to be brought to God, it was Abel who brought the right offering. His brother that was older than him didn't. God accepted Abel's offering. He didn't accept Cain's offering. And at the end of the day, Cain became so jealous that he killed his own brother because of an offering. That's typical of a young person, isn't it? What Cain did. What Abel did was extraordinary. That he wanted to find out the heart of God. What would be acceptable to God as an offering. And that's what he would bring to God. Absolutely amazing. He had such insight as a youngster into the heart of God. And then the last one I just want to share with you. We find in Luke chapter 1, verse 40 to 41. Remarkable young man. Verse 40 and 41 says the following in Luke chapter 1. It says, Mary entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And who was the... Elizabeth was the mother of who? John the Baptist. Yeah, she was the mother of John the Baptist. So Elizabeth, this old lady, was pregnant because it was a miracle. She was pregnant with John the Baptist. All right, and here comes Mary, the mother of Jesus. And she went into the house of Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist. Verse 41 says, "And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the babe, that is John the Baptist, leaped in her womb." In plain English, that means it took a jump. Poor mother. I think that must have been painful. Because I remember Stefani would say, "Come and listen. Oh, I can feel that Stefan is moving," or whatever. He was the wild one. We thought we were going to have a horse rider or something. I don't know. But he was wild. So I would put my ear on her tummy and he would give me a kick. But I mean a kick. Like a hard kick. And I would say, "I just want to listen." And I would, but anyway, let's not go there. But anyway, this John the Baptist, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe, John the Baptist, leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. See how early God started? It isn't as if God decides, well, you know what, I'm going to start with people when they turn 30. I think that's a cool time to start with these, so that they just can, let them just enjoy their lives first. Let them do whatever they want to do. Let them follow the world and do all the worldly stuff. And then what I'll do is, then I will start working in them and I'll save them. And then they need to be this example. Because it's always old people that get saved. Nah, it's always old people. When in fact, the examples in the scripture are so amazing. Here, John the Baptist, the one who would prepare the way for Messiah. And by the way, when he was born, he was immediately being prepared to make the way for the Messiah. And the scriptures teaches us in Matthew chapter 3, verse 4, we read, it says, "Now John himself was clothed in camel hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey." What a diet. Because he was the one who was preparing the way for Messiah. And he lived basically as an outsider of the community his whole youth to fulfill his purpose and his plan for when the Messiah was to come. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit when John the Baptist jumped up inside of her when Mary came in with Jesus. Absolutely amazing. You see, beloved, when God works, age doesn't matter. Age really doesn't matter. My question to you this morning is, are you available? Are you willing to take that leap and be open for God to use you? To be open to stand out and not to be like the world. To stand out for Christ, for the gospel, for the kingdom of God. Or have you been so indoctrinated that the things of this world overshadows everything that is spiritual? I really want to encourage you and challenge you at the same time. Just giving you a few examples. May your life reflect the life of Josiah, Jeremiah, Esther, Miriam, Abel, John the Baptist, and many others in the scriptures. And I want to encourage you and I want to challenge you. Take your Bible. Take a concordance. Go to Google. Professor Google is very clever. And you say, young people in the Bible. Say that to Google and see who he kicks up. And then you go and read about those young people. And you start imitating those young people. Start being like them. Because let me tell you, some of these people that I've shared with you this morning lived thousands of years ago. I'm still talking about them. Do you know your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather and great-great-grandmother? Do you know them? Do you even know their name? These youngsters had an impact because their lives were dedicated and consecrated to God. And God used them. Because God is God. And we should stop thinking like the world and trying to be like the world. And especially, parents, stop training up little humanists. Start teaching children to become everything that God wants them to be, because God has a plan for every child's life. We need to make sure that they follow in God's plan. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come to you in Jesus' name. And thank you for your love and kindness towards us. And thank you for this privilege that we have. To look at examples in your word of youngsters that you used. And I pray, Father, please, may you make examples like the ones in Scripture of young people that are in this building this morning. Maybe a youngster or two or whatever that's listening
for your name's sake, the expansion of your kingdom, and for your glory. This we pray, Father, in Jesus' name.